Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Take your not enough, put it into his hands, and watch him take your not enough into over and above.
That is Atlanta-based preacher Creflo Dollar, who preaches that God wants you to be rich, that Jesus was a wealthy man, and if you put your faith in God, your reward will come in the form of cash money. That's the basic promise of the prosperity gospel, and it's being preached to congregations all over the country and all over the airwaves. Creflo Dollar is on Channel 5 on Sunday mornings here. Believers eat it up, and at a time when so many are being hurt by the recession, conflating finances and personal salvation has proven effective at, if nothing else, raising money for some of those churches. Benjamin Anastas, a contributor to Harper's Magazine, has written an article in this month's issue called Mammon from Heaven, the Prosperity Gospel in Recession. Benjamin, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
We've talked about this on the show before when this was really kind of ascendant in the 90s as a relatively new thing. But for people who don't know it, what is the Prosperity Gospel?
Well, the prosperity gospel basically is the belief that God wants you to enjoy health, wealth, and happiness now rather than waiting for your eternal reward in heaven. And as you mentioned in your intro, it also usually comes with the assertion that Jesus and his 12 disciples were men of wealth and status in their time of place. And rather than being these kind of wild-eyed prophets who wandered the wilderness in rags and lived on charity, they were actually men of wealth and status who traveled in style.
So does the prosperity gospel get preached differently in the Great Recession than during a bubble?
Well, I think there's this basic flaw in the theology itself, which holds that if God wants you to be rich and you're not, well, then it's because you don't have enough faith. Creflo Dollar in particular, his background is in a movement within the Pentecostal faith called the Word of Faith. And the main vehicle of Word of Faith preaching is called, if you'll wait for 1 second, it's called Positive Confession. It comes from Kenneth Hagin. It was originally developed among white Pentecostals in the Dust Bowl. And it holds that if once you enter into covenant with God, he is guaranteed to give you, he is bound to give you what you want if you ask for it the right way.
In the Dust Bowl at that time. So it's a theology born out of need and desperation?
Absolutely. I mean, well, the health and wealth gospel goes all the way back to Cerinthus, who was a first century Gnostic. And you first see it in America during the time of the robber barons. And there was a figure named Russell H. Conwell who wrote, who was the head of the Grace Church in Philadelphia. And he developed this speech called Acres of Diamonds, which he gave all over the country. He delivered it 5,000 times during his lifetime. And he basically held that, you know, it's the godly duty of every Christian to gain wealth. And the second part of it, which has survived to this day, is that if you're poor, it's something you've done wrong. It's that you don't have enough faith. Here in the land of plenty, where there's opportunity for all, you know, being poor is a matter of moral failing.
And since many of our listeners probably have never heard the prosperity gospel in action, I thought to inform this conversation, we would play about a minute of classic prosperity preaching from Creflo Dollar. Anything here? You know this clip? Anything people should listen for?
Well, they should listen to the language of seed and harvest, which harkens back to Oral Roberts and his kind of main theological invention, which is called the seed faith gospel. And interestingly, it doesn't actually come from the Bible. He read a classic book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which was published in 1937. And this is, it's kind of, you know, Barbara Ehrenreich pointed out to this, the connection between the kind of power of positive thinking and the sort of popular prosperity preachings that you see in people like Joel Osteen, who's considered kind of a prosperity light preacher. But the whole idea is that if you think, you can think wealth into existence. If you feel the money in your hands, you can make it happen.
Let's listen.
Whenever you look in your hands and it's not enough, that's not your harvest, that's your seed. In other words, listen, ladies and gentlemen, what do you do when it's your seed? You plant it. You put it back into the hands of Jesus. You take your $2.50 and you need $80 to pay your light bill, you find you an anointed place as fast as you can. Put it into the anointing, and the next time you see it, it will be over and above. I dare you to try me today. But see, this is why you gotta believe. Here is the difference, ladies and gentlemen. When you go through hard times, if you want God to help you, you gotta believe him. He is paralyzed if you're in unbelief. He is paralyzed if you're in fear. But when you get in faith and you look in your hands, instead of going and buying a Happy Meal at McDonald's, you take that $2.50, and it may not seem like it's enough. It may not seem like it's nothing. It didn't seem like that two-piece fish dinner was enough until Jesus got it. And then when Jesus got it, it fed over 20,000 people. Take your not enough, put it into his hands, and watch him take your not enough into over and above.
And watch him take your not enough into over and above. Creflo Dollar. I guess that's an assumed name for the particular kind of preaching that he does.
He claims it's his real name.
His given name. But, I mean, it's easy for us to sit here in lower Manhattan and say this is, exploitative, or to look down on it. When there are a lot of working class people who, for whatever reason, feel empowered by this, do you think people get anything from this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think wherever you see people who are striving to attain a better life for themselves, they're striving to attain the American dream, you're going to find some version of the prosperity gospel. I mean, it's frankly all over lower Manhattan and New York City, too, in the outer boroughs. And when I was writing my piece in Atlanta, I mean, one of the things you see there is Atlanta has kind of an inborn culture of speculation. The city is kind of run on a boom and bust cycle continually from its founding at the terminus of four railway lines. The prosperity gospel speaks to people's aspirations. You know, they want to better themselves. They want to have a better life.
Anybody listening right now who would consider yourself a believer in the prosperity gospel, call us, 212-433-WNYC. We just have about 5 minutes left, but we'll get you right in if you're hearing this and saying, why are they coming down on my church? Why are they coming down on my preacher? Why are they coming down on my beliefs? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you make it sound very harsh when it's, if you're poor, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's a different framing than a kind of optimistic power of positive thinking can do empowering thing for poor or working class people that maybe comes with financial literacy classes and job counseling and things like that.
Right. I mean, in my piece for Harper's Magazine, I visited three churches. The first is called the Prophet's House, and it's run by Bishop Thomas Weeks III. And of the three main characters in my article in Harper's, he's kind of the sketchiest. He has a record. He leaves debts behind him wherever he goes. He's on his third marriage. He pleaded guilty to assault. He was married for a time to the prophetess Juanita Bynum. Although even in Bishop Weeks' church, where it's pretty clear that he's in it for personal gain, there is a lot of, you know, kind of good life lessons for his followers to learn. I describe in the piece a 10-year-old boy who was literally producing the webcast of the service that I attended. And if you think of, here's a 10-year-old boy who's producing his webcast, doing his homework when things got boring. And if he's doing this when he's 10, imagine what he can do when he's 12. Imagine what he can do when he's 14 or 15. And most churches don't really relate to believers' aspirations or their kind of practical needs on this level.
How do they explain to their faithful the recession and that a lot of people in the congregation are struggling more than they were a year or two ago, even though they may be of great faith?
Well, Creflo Dollar, frankly, is having a hard time explaining it. One of the things that sort of surprised me when I visited his church was I went to a financial empowerment conference when I was in Atlanta. And in the pamphlet that they handed out, there's this line that says, contrary to media reports, believers are not subject to the recession. And so Creflo Dollar is having an awfully hard time explaining to all of his faithful followers who are tithing faithfully, who are living holy, who are taking care of their families and working hard and who are still having an incredibly hard time, he's having a hard time explaining to them why it's their fault, why it's just a lack of faith.
Bob in Rego Park wants to chime in on this. Bob, are you a prosperity gospel believer?
Hey, how you doing, guy?
All right.
Doing a great job. Well, I just want to say, you know, in the Hindu religion, they talk about bhukti mukti in the Bhagavad Gita written 5,000 years ago, that when you're purifying yourself, when you're meditating, your time on earth will be a beautiful experience of and gaining wealth itself. You will receive that because of your oneness and your purity of your soul and your heart. So it's not
Bob, I get it. I'm going to leave it there so I can get Phil in Long Island a minute before we run out of time. Hi, Phil.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Great show as always.
Thank you. You're a Creflo Dollar listener?
Oh, absolutely. For a long time. And, you know, although I'm a Catholic and, you know, I tithe to my church, what he's saying is just that you need to line up. To line up your thinking with, you know, a different way from the world. And, you know, the world says spend your money, put it in the bank. Creflo Dollar's got a different point of view that, you know, you invest in a different way. And it's not about enriching him. It's about or enriching yourself. It's much more about having faith. And that was his main message there. Have faith, not send me money.
Phil? Thank you for your call. Benjamin?
Well, I would say, you know, for the most part, that's absolutely true. But I would, you know, Phil, if you're interested, I mean, I would pick up an issue of Harper's Magazine and read, you know, when I visited Atlanta to research the piece, I was quite surprised. I've been following Creflo Dollar since 2006, and he's an incredibly composed and charismatic figure. But I think in part because of this incredible flaw in the theology that's now been exposed, I mean, he's working really hard to explain why his followers are having the trouble that they are. And he really harangued them. You know, he basically said, he said that, you know, if you've lost your job, it's not the marketplace. It's not the downturn. It's because you're murmuring. It's because you're not a good employee. It's because you're not working hard enough. It's because you're not, you don't have enough faith.
One more call real quick. John in Jersey City, we have 30 seconds for you. Hi.
Hi. I was enjoying this article, and when I first heard him come on the air, I was like, oh, it's another attack on affirmative teaching. But just waiting for positive messages, if we wait for Citibank, if we wait for J.P. Morgan to help people with their economics, we'll be all starving to death.
But can faith alone?
People are out there teaching, you know, affirmative ways to find your way. They're all not going to be perfect because no program is. But this is a positive message for people from different walks of life.
John, thank you. Benjamin, we have 30 seconds.
Well, I think that's true. And I think that's one of the reasons why Joel Osteen, for example, is so popular. Excuse me. The underbelly of the theology isn't exposed. It's all, well, you know what? God wants you to live an abundant life. And there are many sources in Scripture that sort of prove that out. And, you know, it's interesting that Joel Osteen was invited by the Steinbrenner family to help bless the new Yankee Stadium in April. And, you know, maybe his presence there has as much to do with the World Series championship as, say, like signing Mark Teixeira.
Blessing the shrine to great wealth.
Exactly.
And in any case, interesting article in Harper's from Benjamin Anastas called Mammon from Heaven. Thank you very much for talking about it with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Evergan, Paige Cowett, Alan Smith produced this program. We had intern help today from Chuni Chian and Matthew Gurry. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Dimitri Krasny at the Audio Controls today. I'm Brian Lehrer.